Okay, we continue Kiddushin Chavtes Amar Aleph. I heard last week Rabbi Grejau was fantastic filling in for me. And if it were up to me, I would tell him he should give the shiur every week. He's very fantastic. So we're going to move on from Mila, and we're going to continue in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Luftoso. If you remember how we got here, the Mishnah had listed a number of laws that are incumbent on the child vis-a-vis the father, on the parent vis-a-vis the child. Gemara, the Mishnah listed the category called Mitzvah Zasesha Azman Grama. And then the Gemara brought a Braisa that listed all of these things after it defined what it meant. Ben ala ben. So the Gemara brought a Braisa. Ha'av chayev v'bno. What is a father obligated towards vis-a-vis the child? Lamulo. To give him a bris milah. Liftoso, pidgin aben, lalam de Torah, teach him Torah, lasio isha, to find him a wife. Interesting, the Rambam omits that one. Lasio isha, the Rambam omits. Maybe we'll get to that later. Lalam de umnos, to teach a profession. The yeshomim af lasita b'mayim, some say, even teaching how to swim. And now the Gemara is going to delve into each of the individual obligations of the father towards the child separately. So we spent a few weeks on Mila. And now we're up to Pidgin Aben. Pidgin Aben begins. The two dots, 2, 4, 5 lines down. The fifth wide line, the middle of the line. You see, Liftoso? So, Mitzvah Sa'av al Aben, the father is obligated to redeem his firstborn child. Liftoso. Ask the Gemara. Liftoso minolot? How do I know that a father, Taka, has to do this? Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Kol b'chor banecha tifdeh. There's a tzivoy, a direct commandment, an obligation directed towards the father, Kol b'chor banecha, the firstborn of your children, directed towards the father, tifdeh, you must redeem. V'hecha de lo parke avua mechayev ila mefrakei. And if the father doesn't do the pidgin aben, then the individual, the child, has to redeem himself. This is very much parallel our case of Mila, where Mila begins with the father, and then if the father doesn't do it, it falls on the son, falls on the Beis Din, then falls on the son. We'll get to in a moment, you'll see the Gemara here omits the role of Beis Din. When it came to Mila, there were three categories. We had the father, we had the son, and we had the Beis Din. The Beis Din. Here we have the father, and then we have the son, and no mention of Beis Din. We'll get to in a moment. So the Gemara wants to know, how do I know? From where do I derive? I might have thought Pidgin Aben is a mitzvah on the father, and if the father is negligent in his mitzvah, and the child becomes a gadol, there's nothing that transfers to him. So says the Gemara, no. Dichsiv tifteh. It says tifteh, and we should darshan it not as if it says tifteh, but tipadeh. Tipadeh in the hit pile, to do to oneself, that if the father doesn't redeem the child, now the son is obligated to come and to redeem himself. Ve'ihi, and now we get to the woman. How do we know the mother? Minolon de la mipakta. How do we know that the mother is not obligated to do pidgin aben for her son? Dichsiv tipadeh tifteh. Because we have a hekesh between the mitzvah of pidyon that applies to him to do for himself, and the mitzvah of pidyon that's on the father vis-a-vis the child. Koshe mitzvah liftos es atzmo, mitzvah liftos es acherim. Koshe ena mitzvah liftos es atzmo, ena mitzvah liftos acherim. Because if you never, ever result in a position that you'd have to redeem yourself, then you don't ever have to redeem others. Since a woman is never going to find herself in a position to have to do pidyon on herself, she's therefore exempt from ever doing pidyon on another. V'i, and how do we know that? Why should we blindly accept that premise? Who says pidyon aben only applies to male and not to female? V'i, minolam v'lamachayva l'mifrak nafshe. How do we know she doesn't have to redeem herself? Dichsev, the pasuk says, tifteh tipadeh. Kosha acherim mitzuvim liftoso, mitzuvah liftos es atzmo. V'kosha ein acherim mitzuvim liftoso, ein mitzuvah liftos es atzmo. Here we start to get to some circular logic. How do we know that she's not obligated to redeem her son? Because you're only obligated to redeem another if you yourself are ever obligated. And how do we know she herself is never obligated? Because there's no one who's ever obligated to redeem her. And how do we know that no one's ever obligated to redeem her? Banecha is not just meant there generically, your children, be they male or female, but rather, banecha means literally, your son. Your son is an obligated pinyan ben. There's no mitzvah of pinyan ben on the daughter. So to summarize and to come full circle, The Mishnah listed that one of the mitzvahs of Ahava Ben is Pidyon HaBen. How do we know a father is obligated to redeem his son? It says, it's a beferish tzivu. You have to redeem your son. And how do we know that if the father doesn't, the son has to himself? Because it says, tifteh, read it as tipadeh, he has to do it himself. And how do we know it goes father, son, but never to the mother? The mother's never in a position of obligation to redeem her son. Because it says, tipadeh, tifteh. Only somebody who's obligated on themselves can redeem another. A woman's never obligated to be redeemed. She therefore can't obligate another. How do you know she's not obligated to be redeemed? Because only if someone's ever obligated to redeem you, are you obligated to redeem yourself? And no one's ever obligated to redeem her. And how do we know no one's ever obligated to redeem her? Because the pasuk, now we come full circle, the original tzivui was, kol b'chor b'necha tifteh. You're obligated to redeem your son and not your daughter. Okay, so thus far we've established, if you got a migraine from the drushes themselves, fine. But now, so far we've established that there's a mitzvah on the father to redeem his son. If the father doesn't, then the son redeems himself. No mention of Beis Din. And we have a lima that the mother is not in the parsha. The mother is altogether exempt. Yes?
Just as a note, in Tainus Becholim, the Shulchan Aruch points down that it's even a Becholah. And the suggestion that she can't fast, even could fast the father for her, it's just an oddity. We acknowledge her bechor right, that's not redeemable.
Right, correct. So there's also how do you define bechor in different contexts? And Shlomo Zalman has a big chiddush about tainus bechoros and why we fast, and it has nothing to do with the makas bechoros, he says, because that applied equally to the women, and he wonders why they don't fast. And Rav Shlomo Zalman is a big chiddush that the reason the firstborn fast on Erev Pesach has nothing to do with the 10th makkah. Why do the firstborn fast on Erev Pesach, says Rav Shlomo Zalman? Because what's happening on Erev Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash? There are chabura after chabura after chabura. There's a long lineup coming into the Beis HaMikdash to offer their Korban Pesach. And who's offering the Korban Pesach? Who's doing the Shechita? The Kahanim. And who should have been doing it? The firstborn. But the firstborn messed up when they participated, therefore they were removed from the Kahuna. So Erev Pesach is the time that the firstborn feel the greatest remorse, the greatest regret for the fact that they lost this opportunity to be the ones. That's for Shlomo Zalman's big chiddush, and that's why women don't fast, because really it has nothing to do with the 10th plague, it has to do with something else altogether. But you're right. In halacha, the notion of bechor is defined different in different circumstances, but we're not going to get into that now.
Obviously, those who suggest that the women
should fast, see it as connected. Correct. They hold it's connected to the 10th plague in which women were killed as well. Steve.
Yeah. The Gra learned out Pidyon HaBen for the word gracious. Ben Risho Nachashoshim Yom Tivet.
Nice. Okay. Beautiful. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.
The court of Shlomo Zalman doesn't matter if it's only a Bechor to the mother or the father.
Oh. So Shlomo Zalman says, in that circumstance, no. It's a footnote in the Halicha Shlomo.
We say that only the Bechor to the mother passes, right?
We say, I think, Tainus Bechoros Dafka.
Mother.
It's also a Machlokas. To be honest, I have an older sister. I don't remember. Okay, so let's go through a few things here. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Sha'akol Niyeh B'dvaro. Yes?
Why don't we use the pasuk? Why does the Gemara have to go through two cases of circular reasoning? Why don't you go straight to the pasuk? You'll save yourself the middleman.
Correct. Excellent question. That's what I said. We went through this whole circular logic and ended up where we started. We said, how do we know that she's not? Because that pasuk just teaches that she's not redeemed. You still needed the limud to get to that she doesn't redeem another. So that whole limud brought you to that important conclusion. Okay. Number one, issue to go through. When the child becomes a gadol, when he becomes a bar mitzvah, this bechor, and the Gemara here says the obligation of pidyon transfers to him, does it remain on the father as well? Does the chiyuv on the father remain on the father even after the child grows? Or is the chiyuv on the father until the child is in a position that he can redeem himself? And once the child can redeem himself, then the father is exempt.
What happens if the father's passed on before the 30th day?
We'll get to in a second about the Beis Din being omitted. But this is, first deal with this question. Is the father, and what does this relate to? We had the similar question when it came to the mitzvah of Mila. When the Gemara tells us, and the Mishnah tells us, there's an obligation of Mila, or an obligation of Pidyon HaBen on the father, is the obligation on the father, and it's the father's direct obligation? Or is the obligation really on the child, but the child is exempt, he's ineligible, he's a child, so the father, as an extension of the child, has to assist the child, but that's only until the child's eligible. Once the child's eligible, since the father has no direct mitzvah, now he's exempt. Remember we saw the Stipler explained, that was the nature of the machlokes between the Ramban and Tosos. Tosos had the question, what do you mean? Women are exempt from Mila because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. What do you need the whole pasuk for? And Tosus had his answer, and the Ramban had his answer, and the Stipler tried to say that their answers correspond with two perspectives on this question. Is the mitzvah of Mila on the child always, but the father helps the child till the child's old enough? Or no, the mitzvah of Mila is on the father until the child, then it transfers and the father becomes exempt. And that same chakira, that same question, can be asked here when it comes to Pidyon HaBen. And that's what you have in your source sheets. If you turn to the third page, you have the Sefer HaChinuch, the Minchas Chinuch. My drive of Otzer HaChochma suddenly stopped cooperating. So I had to do the old-fashioned way and go grab books and make copies and scramble right before the shir. So I apologize if it's not clear. I'll read it to you. But a mitzvah shin tzadi beiz. Mitzvah shin tzadi beiz. First, the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch writes, "Liftos b'chor adam mitzvah kol ish miYisrael shiyiftem min haKohen b'noshu b'chor li'imo haYisraelis." There's a mitzvah on every male to redeem from a Kohen his son who is the firstborn of his Yisraelis wife. Shneimar ach fado yifte es b'chor haAdam. What if the mother is a bas Levi? Then you're exempt. Some of the Achronim ask on our Gemara, if you now go back and reapply the circular logic, somebody who themselves is exempt and wouldn't be redeemed by another, can't redeem another, what happens if that man now has a child? The Ben Leviah, the mother is a Bas Levi, how does that all work? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Matzana b'malkam acher shetol akosu b'chor peterechem. We see a connection to the first of the womb. Fine. Midinei HaMitzvah, I'm skipping ahead, you don't have it there. I'm reading the Sefer HaChinuch. Masha'omer zechonu l'vracha, shemitzvah pidyon hu yesh lo shloshim yom ma'alash yotz mechlal nefel. Why do we do pidyon HaBen on the 30th day? People think that the mitzvah doesn't begin until the 30th day. The mitzvah does not begin the 30th day. It's just that, what's the problem until the 30th day? It's not a bar kayama. We don't know whether this child, in the times of the Gemara, they had an impression that you could have a stillbirth who looks alive for 30 days. If a baby lives longer than 30 days, you can be confident they were alive. If they die within 30 days, they were never really alive. They were a stillborn who gave the appearance of being born, a nephel. So it takes 30 days in order to ascertain that this is a viable child. We don't do Pidyon HaBen until the 30th day because of the viability of the child, but not in terms of the mitzvah of pidyon.
If you make a bris on the 8th day, it has to be alive.
The mitzvah is to make the bris on the 8th day, so you got to make the bris on the 8th day. We do a bris even on a nephel. But you don't do pidyon on a nephel. A stillborn child has a bris. The Ramah in Yerodeah mentions a stillborn child. You know why he says you do a bris on the stillborn child? I've been present when the Maal's done a bris. And it's still been a funeral home for a stillborn child. Very, very sad. The Ramah says you do a bris and you give a name. And the reason you do both, I don't know if the Ramah says it directly, I forgot if the Nosa Kalim say, so that this baby in Tchias HaMesim will come back mahu. That it's a affirmation in the belief of Tchiyas HaMesim, that this child also, you don't have to wait till the eighth day, you're going to bury the Nephil. So you do a bris and you give a name, so Tchiyas HaMesim, this child comes back, does so with being mahal. So anyway, the Sefer Achina says, quotes from a pasuk, Uftiyav ben chodesh tifteh, the pasuk itself says from 1 month, so the Torah specifies, but the reason is to be yotze michlal Nephil. U'mitzvah zu mutelas al ha'av, the mitzvah is on the father, says the Sefer HaChinuch. Over ha'avol orotz levdoso, mitzvah l'avdin levdos atzma mishayagdil. That if the father does not, in fact, redeem the child, then there's an obligation on the child from when he grows up. V'apidyon ben b'kesev, ashel l'chom ishtoim, mishel v'kesev, and v'taltan shebegufon, yotzu avodim, and so on and so forth. Ha'av yoch lutnim l'kohen echad, l'kohenim harbei, and so on. He continues to say for Achinuch, and he writes explicitly, Va'over al zeh v'lo pada b'no mishehu ra'oi mishe'avru alav shloshim yom imeis kodem sheyifadenu bitel asei zeh. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, if a person does not redeem their son and they die after 30 days before redeeming their son, then they've been mevatel an asei. Oy lanu, oy lo shenasa avono al nafsho. Woe unto the person who dies without having redeemed his son. So what does it sound like? That it's on the father, and that the father dies having not redeemed his son, even when his son, sounds like, is past bar mitzvah, still it's the father's bitul asei. V'afa pi she'en l'mitzvah zu zman kavua, d'b'chol shayta v'shayta achar shloshim yom zman hi. Interesting. Sefer HaChinuch writes, is pidyon haben a mitzvah zeh shazman grama? No. And you know that from the fact that the Gemara needed a special drusha that women are exempt. Why do you need a drusha? Women are exempt. We could ask Tosfos' question by Mila. Why do you need a drusha that women are exempt? If it's a mitzvah seisha asman grama, you wouldn't need a drusha. The reason you need a drusha is a mitzvah seisha ain asman grama. Aye, how could you say that? It's not until the 30th day. So you have to explain the way Tosfos did with Mila. Just like with Mila, Tosfos said, yeah, true, the mitzvah doesn't begin till the 8th day. But once the mitzvah begins, now indiscriminately going forward, you're obligated all the time, 24/7 going forward. So too, pidyon haben doesn't begin till the 30th day. But once the mitzvah is chal, it's not tolei bezman.
But you just explained that it doesn't start the 30th day.
Actually, it does.
It starts the first day.
It doesn't start
because of a technicality.
But the technicality means it doesn't start till the 30th day. What if you did it within 30 days? Have you been yotzei? Do you have to do it again? That's a different question. But the mitzvah doesn't begin until the 30th. Now, as we defined, if you remember a few weeks ago, mitzvah seh shazman grama, based on Tosfos, there's a lot of different ways of explaining. Tosfos understands that mitzvah seh shazman grama doesn't mean that it's totally in the calendar. It means that it's something which is only occasionally obligated. So when it comes to lulav, esrog, it's cyclical. You're obligated occasionally and cyclically when you're obligated. So shofar, lulav, and so on. But when it comes to Mila or Pidyon HaBen, Tosfos says, that's not mitzvah shazman grama. True, the chiyuv doesn't kick in till a certain time, but once it kicks in, it's not cyclical, it's not based on a certain day on the calendar, it's not limited by a time of day, it's always. Fine. Ulefia domen, this is what I wanted to get to, Sefer HaChinuch concludes, Sha'av chayev la'olam liftos b'no, la'afilo achar shehigdil ha'ben, the father remains obligated in the pidyon haben of his son, and even after the son could be 40 years old, 50 years old, 80 years old, and his father's 102, the mitzvah is still on the father.
And the son?
Yeah, that the Gemara said. It's they both. So Azoy Zorch to say for Achinuch that the mitzvah is not temporarily on the father on behalf of the son, but the mitzvah is on the father. And this is how the Rashba writes as well, and the Minchas Chinuch says this too. If you go back, you'll see. He says the following: Chiyuv Av Mitzvah Al Kol Ish Miyisrael Liftos Beno Bechor Shu Peter Rechem LeImo. V'Miyesh LaKam Anoshem Cholechan UPeter Rechem LeImo. Hein Einem Bechor LaRak LeImam. Mikom Akom Mitzvah LaAv Shiyiftosam V'Litin Chamish Shlan LeKoyim Ba'ad Cholechan. A father can have multiple obligations in Pidyon HaBen. If a man is married to multiple wives, and for each of those wives, that son is their firstborn, then he will be obligated in Pidyon HaBen multiple times. And the Minchas Chinuch says, if the father didn't do it, the son has to. And he says explicitly, the Minchas Chinuch, that when the son becomes a gadol, now the mitzvah is on both. In other words, there's a direct mitzvah on the father. It wasn't the father on behalf of the son. The mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen was directed to the father. And the fact that the son now has his own parallel mitzvah does not exempt the father. And now he's going to bring a raya. The Brisa that we just read lists many things, and here's the Minchas Chinuch's Raya for the Chinuch. La'asio ulevdoso. Kamo la'asio du begadlos, so too gam kein bechlaben. What's the Minchas Chinuch's Raya for the Sefer HaChinuch, that the obligation on the father remains even after the son becomes a gadol? In the Brisa's list of mitzvahs ha'av ala ben, there was Mila, there was this, there was this, there was this, Pidyon HaBen, and then, chronolat, Lasio Isha. When is the father obligated to marry his, to find a spouse for his son? When his kid's 3 years old? When his kid's 10? Obviously, says the Minchas Chinuch, Mishahigdil, the mitzvah Lasio Isha, the obligation of the father to find the spouse, to what they call marry off, improper grammar, for their child, begins after the child's a gadol, says the Minchas Chinuch. If that's what the Braisa is referring to for Lasio Isho, then the same thing is true for Pidyon HaBen, that it remains obligated on the father even after the son becomes a gadol. And moreover, he says, that it says, we're going to get to the Gemara in a moment, Rabbi Yehuda liftos, who liftos, u beno liftos, beno kodmo. What happens, we're going to get to this, what happens if you have a conflict? You have to redeem yourself. Your father never took care of you. And you also now have a son you have to redeem. And you have five slime. Who do you redeem first? So the Rabbi Yehuda said, Beno Kodmo. First you take care of your son before yourself. Shezeh mitzvah sa'al aviv, and so on. Mevuar, after hu gadol, mikol makom mitzvah sa'al aviv. Uvizeh lo pola gatana kamarak, svirlei de mitzvah de gufa adiv. The Minchas Chinuch is assuming that in that case, in the conflict between taking care of your son and taking care of yourself, it's a case where your son is already a gadol. We'll get to it because it's multiple generations. And despite the fact that the son is a gadol, the Gemara concludes the mitzvah al beno before himself. Well, if the mitzvah never was really on you, you were just obligated for the child when he was a katan, then why would the Gemara conclude in a conflict between your son and you, the son is a gadol, you do the son first? What do you mean do the son first? Father's no longer obligated. The son's a gadol, the mitzvah is now on him. And yet Rabbi Yehuda concludes that the mitzvah remains on the father, b'no kodom, the son comes first. So what do you see? You see that the mitzvah of the father remains. This is the raya of the Minchas Chinuch to the shita of the Chinuch, the shita of the Rashba, that the obligation of Pidyon HaBen is not on the child and the father just has to help him till he gets old enough. The obligation of Pidyon HaBen is on the father, and it's an obligation which remains in place forever. The Rivash disagrees. The Rivash, it's not in your source book. The Rivash in the Tshuva Kuflam at Aleph says, no, once the son grows up, the father is exempt. And what's his evidence? The Gemara is going to say the following. Pidyon Ha'av comes before Pidyon HaBen because Pidyon Atzmo is a chiyuv al gufo. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said the son comes first. But the Gemara has a different conclusion. That if there's a conflict between the son and himself, he comes first. And what's the Gemara's answer why he comes first? The Gemara uses the language, because the mitzvah of pidyon haben on himself is a chiyav al gufo. It's a mitzvah shebegufo. It's directly on himself. When you have an obligation on yourself, or assisting another, you comes first. Says the Rivash, the fact that the Gemara referred to the mitzvah of pidyon haben for himself as a mitzvah shebegufo, but the mitzvah of pidyon haben for his son not as a mitzvah shebegufo, it means that the father is never directly obligated in pidyon haben. He's only obligated in pidyon haben on behalf of the child. And once the child's eligible to do it himself, the father is no longer necessary because the mitzvah was never directly on him. Okay? So you see in this machlokis between the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rashba on the one end versus the Rivash, the Menchas Chinuch brings rayas for the one side, the Rivash brings a raya for himself. It's a machlokis, essentially a chakira. What's the nature of the father's obligation in pidyon haben? Is he obligated in pidyon haben his own obligation, in which case it should last beyond the child becoming a gadol? Is his obligation in pidyon haben only on behalf of the son? We mentioned what's missing here. When it came to Mila, you had the obligation on the father, then you had the obligation on Bezdin, then you had the obligation on himself. Here we're missing the obligation on Bezdin. Why is the Bezdin omitted? So, the Shita Lanud Olami is the one who points out that Bezdin is omitted, and some explain the reason is that when it came to Mila, Bezdin represents the community. So why is the community not obligated to ensure that this child is redeemed? So, some of the Mefarshim explain, because does Mila have a cost? Does Mila have a cost?
Really not.
Not necessarily. In other words, if you have a son, you learn that Mila is expensive. But technically, the Moel is only allowed to take Schar Batala. It really shouldn't be paid for doing the mitzvah. And if the father is a trained Moel, the father should do it. I'm not talking about the eggs and the omelets and the lock station. And that. That's not part of the Iker mitzvah. And you should have fleshiks out of brisk. That's not the ikrimitz. I'm actually talking about the circumcision itself. If the father is trained to do it, we saw a few weeks ago the Or Zeruah holds, if the father can do the mila, he's not allowed to do it through a shliach. He's not yotze through a shliach. He has to do it directly. So mila, technically, has no financial component to it. Whereas pidyon haben, by definition, is chesr and kis. Pidyon haben, by definition, cost you. So therefore, some explain, that's why Beis Din is not obligated. Beis Din can arrange the mila, you get the voluntary mol in town, but unless you're going to find the kohen and is willing to donate the money back, there's a cost, an expense associated, and therefore the community is not obligated. But can Beis Din do it? Can Beis Din do it? So let's say we have a kid, Nebuch the father didn't redeem him, and we want Beis Din says, you know what, as a community, we'll do a pidyon haben. Can Beis Din voluntarily do the pidyon haben, even though they're omitted from the list of the Gemara of who's eligible?
So why not? So why not? You have the psukim by Mila and by pidyon haben are clearly different. He's himolachem kol zachar.
Right.
Which seems to imply that everybody has to be mobile. So ultimately, it'll fall on the community to do it because it's himolachem. By pidyon haben, it says kol b'chor
banecha.
So
you're explaining even better. Don't get onto some lamdas about chesr and kis. Just look at the psukim. The psukim talk about the community's obligation in the resulting child being gemalt, and in pidyon haben, it's a specific mitzvah, and the mitzvah is directed to your son, to your son or to you directly, but not. There's no Beis Din component to it. Yeah.
But regarding
either way, the observation is that Beis Din is not on the list. Why they're not on the list? Is it a technicality because of chesr and kis? Is it because of the psukim themselves?
But
yeah.
Regarding whether they're allowed to do it or not, Beis Din is in charge of all religious practices to see to it that everything is done according to the service.
But this is a mitzvah. The child belongs to the Kohen. There's a certain kedusha to this child, and you're trying to transfer it. You're trying to redeem, release the child of that. Does Beis Din have the tool? Can they serve as the mechanism to achieve that goal? In other words, when it comes to Mila, it's a result of having a child who's gemalt. Who cares who paid the mol? The father paid the mol, the Beis Din paid the mol, the kid grew up and paid the mol. What you need is the result of a child is not an oral. You need to remove the orla.
A Jew should be redeemed.
Correct, but how do you? But redeem is a religious practice. A bris milah is a surgery with a religious component. It's not stama surgery, but it's the removing of the orla. Pidgin Aben is a religious experience. Can Beis Din be the mechanism to achieve that religious experience? Yes.
I wonder if we could say the same reason that we're saying that if the father and mother is a kain or levi, they're pater. So maybe since the community always has kain and levi, it should be pater for the same reason.
Oh, maybe you're right. Whatever the technicality is, Beis Din's not mentioned. So let's look at the Ramah. You have this page 4 in your handout. Page 4 in your handout. Yes. Right. That's what some, the Masifta brings down somebody who says that.
There is a component of money. Doesn't that in itself prove that the miss is on the father, not on the child? Well, what's a child? The Torah would put an oil on a child that's just born 30 days old.
No, everybody agrees that till the child's a gadol, it's on the father. The question is, what's the nature of it being on the father? Is it on the father because the child can't do it, but it's not really on the father? Or is it on the father directly, in perpetuity? So if you look at the Ramah, in Hilchos Pidyon Bechor, Yerdei Shinhei, the Ramah here says the following. First the Mechaber says, B'shah, we're looking at Halacha Yud. B'shah Shinos on a Pidyon, the Kohen Bevorach, Shekishonam Tzav Tzivonu, a Pidyon HaBen, B'chozim Bevorach, Shech Yonu, V'achikach Nos on a Pidyon, the Kohen. When you do a Pidyon HaBen, you make the Bracha, and then you make a Shech Yonu, and then you give the money. You make a different nusach abracha. The father's doing it, it's al pidyon haben. If it's a pidyon haben for oneself, it's liftos habachor. And then a shech yano. Fine. Says the Ramah, Yeshom Radafa po da'atma avarach al pidyon habachor. Ramah says, even if it's yourself, we leave the nusach, the matbeya habracha, unchanged. Whether the father's doing it, the son's doing it, you make the same bracha beforehand. Fine. And the Ramah talks about the process, the dialogue between the Kohen and the father, and how the exchange and the transaction happens. Fine. And now you look at the wide lines. Yesha kasev, hold on, shenogu lasa suda b'shas ha-pidyon. Some say you should make a suda. V'yim be'ir mavarach ha-kohen al yayim yad achar ha-pidyon. Says the Ma'aril, we always try to associate wine with a ritual at a wedding, at a bris, wine is the introduction. So similar with the pidyon haben. V'chein nogin achshav k'dei lefarsumei milsa. V'ein nogin levarach sha'asimcha bimono. Kos the Avud Raham, even though one might have thought it's appropriate, sha'asimcha bimono, it's not just for weddings, one might have thought you say that at pidyon haben, we don't. V'ein, here we go. V'ein ha'av yachol liftos al yidei shliach, v'gam ein beizdin podim oso below ha'av. The Ramah quotes the Rivash and says that the father cannot Mila you can do through a shliach. Most people do. You hire a mo'el and you, right before the slice, appoint the mo'el to be your agent. You could do bris Mila through a shliach, through agency. But let's say the father says, leave me alone, I'm at work, I'm busy, just do me a favor, take care of this, give the Kohen the money, redeem my kid, I'll pay you back. Can the father be Yotzei Pidyon HaBen through Shlichus? No. Ramah, quoting the Rivash, says, no. And moreover, Beis Din cannot be Poda, the child, below Av. Does that mean cannot means not obligated? Or cannot means doesn't work? So the Taz comes along. Taz comes along on the left-hand column, the Turei Zav. And the Taz writes, V'gam Beis Din ein podin oso below ha'av. You see we're in Yud Aleph, Sifkat in Yud Aleph? The last of the wide lines of the Taz. Ein av yachol liftos al yidei shliach. V'gam Beis Din ein podin oso below ha'av. Zu midivrei she'ela shenishal rivash. Dainu sha'ashol sha'olo v'zeh l'shono. L'makosav ha'ramba menusav pidyon ha'ben al pidyon. Kevin the mitzvah's pidyon ikor al ha'av ramya. El de mediyuka podos yifteh yalfin en podes atzmo. Av yidei shliach al yidei Beis Din less lon. From the Lashon HaPasuk, it sounds like your father can do it, you can do it, no one else can. And the Taz goes on, and the Taz says, But based on this Rivash, not only, it's a long, long Taz, based on this Rivash, not only are you not obligated as Beis Din, you're forbidden. A Beis Din that tries to do a Pidgin HaBen, Ein HaMashayim, writes the Taz. They're not allowed, and it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? So look at the Gra. Zok the Gra. So look at the Gra. Zok the Gra, the last wide line, the Bira Gra, you need a magnifying glass, I apologize. You see it? Sifkat and Yud Zayin. Go back to page 4. Ein Ha'av, Ein Shach, the Ein Ha'av, I don't understand where the Ramah got this from. The Gra disagrees with the Ramah. Why in the world you could be yotze a mitzvah ayde shliach? Shliach can do bedikas chametz for me. A shliach can put up a mezuzah. A shliach can be mekadesh and isha. A shliach can, says the Gra. So why can't the shliach do pidyon? El da afacher yachol levdos afilu below daito shalav. The Lord of Mashakotov Sha'achar Yachol Liftos, Vechena Terevai, Bepidion, the Mashakot Vechena Terevai, Vechen Hektish, Erechen, Vekoshekin Kan, Sha'ina Elochov Ba'alma, Sha'akoin Govim Mishubadim. So the Gra says, how do we view the nature of Pidgin HaBen? For the Gra, there's a chov, there's a debt. The father owes 5 sloim to the Kohen. It's a debt. Can you pay my debt for me?
Yeah.
And release me from the debt? No. Absolutely, and you're welcome to. I invite anybody afterwards to. I'll tell you my mortgage company. You're welcome to. You could pay my debt for me. So says the Gra, if essentially Pidgin HaBen is just another form of a debt for the father towards the Kohen, why can't somebody pay my debt? What do you mean Ein HaRishayim? What do you mean Taz? What do you mean Ramah? That Beis Din can't do it, it doesn't work. They did it. The father owed 5 slime. Someone stepped in, an angel, and paid it for the father. Afila shlomidaito, says the Gra. Even if the father has no knowledge of who did it, when they did it, how they did it, why they did it, he comes to the Kohen, the Kohen says, oh no, you're all taken care of. What do you mean I'm all your bill's paid? What do you mean my bill's paid? Who paid? None of your business. It's paid, it's all taken care of, you're good to go. Says the Gra, Pidgin HaBen is essentially a chov, ba'alma. Shere ha'kohen govim mishubodim. K'mashakasa be'bechoros. V'sham ishtabdu nechsoi. We're going to get into the Gemara, I was hoping this week, but I see now maybe in 2 or 3 weeks. The Gemara and Kiddushin, we're going to get into this question of Nechasim b'nei Chorim and Nechasim b'shubadim. If a person is obligated with Pidgin HaBen on themselves and on their son, who do you send where to collect? Nechasim b'shubadim means encumbered property. It means that when you bought my property, you understood that there are a lien on that property. What's the lien on the property? That I haven't redeemed my son yet. If you bought the property after my son was born, but before I did Pidgin HaBen, it's called Nechasim Mishubadim. There's a lien on the property. What do you mean? Which bank? Bank of America, Maryland. Which bank has a lien on the property? The answer is the Kohen. The Gemara's discussion and description of Pidgin HaBen in association with a lien on property, says the Gra, is evidence that Pidgin HaBen at its core is just another form. Okay, it's a chov that has a religious component. Right? When you pay off your mortgage, maybe you do make a shechianu. But do you make a bracha? Do you find a bottle of wine? Do you make a shechianu? Other debts, not a mitzvah, a religious component. Pidgin HaBen has a religious component. But at its core, Pidgin HaBen, says the Gra, is a debt, and therefore anyone can pay the debt. Haporeh chovo shel acher eina nifter. Says the Gra, I don't deny that ideally the mitzvah is on the father. Just like bris, the mitzvah ideally is the father. But the father does it through a shliach. No one's going to say you're not yotze the mitzvah, you have to do a tafas dam bris, because he used the shliach. So just like if the father says to the moal, could you do the mila for me, you're yotze. How come if the father says, could you pay the kohen for me, you're not yotze? At its core, it's a chov. And that's a raya from the fact that we describe it as Nechasim Mishubadim. Ein Amuchach Dvarav Ayin Taz V'Shach, and says the Gra, I don't know where it comes from. So the Ramah quotes the Rivash and he says, first the Shita Delani notices that our Gemara left off Beis Din. We talked about the son, we talked about the father, no Beis Din. Mila, you had Beis Din, we don't have Beis Din. Comes along the Ramah and says it's not a coincidence. The fact that Beis Din is not included is because you can't do Pidgin HaBen through a Shliach, And you can't do pidyon haben through beis din. If beis din try to pay it off, you're not done. You still retain an obligation of pidyon haben. And the Taz says not only that you're not obligated pidyon haben beis din, you're not allowed. Comes along the Gron, he says, what are you talking about? Not obligated, not allowed. Of course you're allowed, and of course it works. It's like anything else that you yotze through a shliach, shliach shalom kamoso, an agent is like you, and essentially it's a chov, it's a debt, someone can repay your debt, and you're good to go. Comes along the Chazon Ish, should have here in your handout. Comes along the Chazon Ish. And he says the following. Comes along the Chazon Ish as follows. Page 6. You see it? He's dealing with this particular issue. Chayav b'achrayus, lav chayav b'achrayus. Let's see where to start. Five lines up from the paragraph that begins Ve'ikar Divrei Agra. Hiskimu Achronim Zal Depodin Shlomi Dasa Av Dischus Hulo. Upodin Mikesav Achirim Midin Schus Vavlo Shluchi Didei. Aval Biyosam Kevin She'en Kan Mishemuchi Bedavar Lo Shayach Zachin Shlo Bafanav She'en Achayev Bedavar. Very interesting, says the Chazon Ish. If the father is alive and the father has the mitzvah, then someone else can do it on behalf of the father, even without the father knowing, through a principle not of shlichus, because you can't have shlichus shlomi daito, but rather through the principle of zachen la'adam. You're allowed to transact on behalf of someone else when it's a merit for them. If it's not a merit, it's a liability, then it doesn't work. But if your transaction is a merit on behalf of another, then the transaction is valid, the transaction works, even without the other person's knowledge. So says the Chazon Ish, according to the Achronim, even without the father knowing, it's not through shlichus, even the question of how Zachen works, is Zachen working through shlichus, but it's working through Zachen. And why does it work through Zachen? Because who doesn't want their debt paid off? You're paying the debt of the father. That's a schus. But a yosom, let's say the father died and the child's a katan, can you do the pidyon for him? Says the Chazon Ish, now it doesn't work. And this maybe is what the Rama meant. Why does it not work? Because you can't say zachen for the child because the child's not obligated. When does the obligation apply to the child? Only when he becomes a gadol. So if the father died... If the kid's a yasum, the father died. See, if the father died, who's mechuyev? There's no chiyev on Beis Din. Who's mechuyev? If the father left other children, so they inherit the debt. But let's assume he didn't leave any. This is his one child, which makes sense. It's his bechor. So he says, yasum kevin she'en kan mishem mechuyev bedavar. In the case of a yasum, who's obligated? The father's gone. The child's a cotton. Lo shayach zachen shelo b'fanav. You can't apply the principle of zachen shelo b'fanav that you can transact on behalf of another in a merit way. Shein achay b'davar. Ve'efshad yoshes chus lo shayas ba'atzmo. Maybe leave it for the child. The child actually prefers to be able to do the mitzvah himself. Umimos hakotin vada yefshar. Came in shein achayev. And let's say the kid got a bunch of Israel bonds. He got a bunch of gifts when he was a kid. You're going to delve into the birth money and you'll use that money to redeem the child. You can't. Why? The child's not obligated. So his money can't release him from an obligation that's not yet fallen. So says the Chazon Ish, that's the pshat in the Taz and the Ramah. What does it mean, Beis Din can't do it? If the kid's a yasum, and there's no father on whose behalf you can apply either shlichus or zachin, so then the kid's a yasum, the kid's not mechuyev, there's no father who's mechuyev, whose money can you use, who says it's a zchus for the child, and therefore, the Taz says, not only are Beis Din not mechuyev, Ein Rishayim. There's no pidgin aben took place. It didn't, in fact, work. And keep going. Vekar divrei agro, ein amuvan. And in fact, just the essential essence of the gra says the Chazon Ish. I don't understand. Shekos of raya shepodim lo dasa av kamo. Maaser sheni. Where there it says vehektish beerch and near kavanas rabin lamashaninu be. Balabayas Omer, Bechim Be'erchan, Abaylam Omer, Mavur Shacher, Nosan Yosem, Kodmim, Avaminal, Delobina Das Balabayas, Maisa Sheni, Dilma Dinik Tani, Shem Balabayas, Shariliftos Bepochos, Kim Shacher, Nosan Yosem, Tzarcha Balabayas, Lim Kolacher, Lohosiv Bedomim, Ubehektish. Anyway, the Chazon Ish goes through and he tries to dissect and say that the Vilna Gaon's comparison doesn't work, and therefore he doesn't understand the Vilna Gaon to begin with. And then he goes, skip toward the bottom. 2, 4, 6, 10 lines up. Umashakas of Od Rabbeinu, Tahacha Odif, She'en Kan Ela Piron Chol. Now the Chazon Ish says, what do you mean? The Gra said, Pidgin HaBen essentially is a debt. And paying the coin is essentially paying off the debt. Adaraba. He knows Senes, Tahasim, Maisa Shinishu, Inyan Chilu, Kabashakonim, Rishus Gavol, Rishus Hedyot, Hu Bechol Adam. Hacha, Hu Mitzvah Ba'alma, Va Mitzvah Al Ha'av. Umashapore, Chov Shachavir, Shlomidaito, Hu Machmas Chus. V'mocha behedja, v'ada yefshur l'shalim l'malva ba'akorcho. V'mamalva noto areo mocha l'chov ba'akorcho. V'efshur l'mchochov ba'akorcho shalova, k'mavur baran. So, v'tzorach in kavanas Rabbeinu, says the Chazon Ish, I don't understand the gra. Pidgin HaBen is not just essentially a chov. You can't pay the chov on behalf of, without the ba'al chov's knowledge. It doesn't work that way. And therefore he disagrees with this gra. Okay, so I just wanted to, we didn't look at the Chazon Ish carefully. You could go back and look at it more yourself. But to bring to your attention that the Gemara omits Beis Din in the list, the Ramah quotes the Rav Asher saying it is intentional omission because Beis Din doesn't do Pidgin HaBen. Taz says Beis Din can't do Pidgin HaBen. The Gra says, I don't know what they're talking about. It absolutely can work like any other chov. And the Chazon Ish says, well, certainly if the child's a yasom, it can't work. If the child has no father, when else would Beis Din kick in? When child's father died. When the child's father's died, Beis Din is not mentioned because Beis Din can't do it because he can't apply the principle of Zachar. Okay. Let's keep going. What time is it? A couple more minutes. Back to the Gemara. Yeah. So Rashi, by the way, says here, he doesn't say it when it comes to the Tosos, I'm saying, wasn't bothered with this question here the way he was with Mila. But Rashi, Ihi Minolan de la Mifkida. How do we know that the mother is not obligated in Pidgin HaBen? Rashi writes, Ihi Imo. Minayin Sheinu Mitzvah Liftos Bina. Tekev Mitzvah Seh Shelo Azman Gromahu Boi Krolam Uta. Rashi is going out of his way to say, and the whole reason the Gemara said minalan and we needed a drasha to exempt the mother is because it's not a mitzvah seishas man groma for the reasons we explained and that Tosos previously explained having to do with bris mila. Okay, writer. Tana Rabbanan. Who liftos?
Where are you?
Writer in the Gemara. Who liftos? Ubino liftos. The father's now got a dilemma. His father didn't redeem him, so he has an obligation on himself, and he has a son who's a bechor, and he has an obligation on his son. So he needs 10 slaim, 5 for himself and 5 for his son. Who kodem, says the Gemara? Who kodem livno? He goes first. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bino Kodmo. The son comes first. Remember we saw this was the Machlokas. The Chinuch, Minchas Chinuch Rivash. One saw Rabbi Yehuda Azariah their way, the other saw the Chacham Azariah their way. Shezem mitzvah al aviv, v'zem mitzvah Bino alav. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the son comes first. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda goes super far. His obligation of Pidgin HaBen really was on his father. We were assuming the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen really is on the son. Where does the father come in? The kid, Nebuch, the little kid, can't do a mitzvah on himself. The father helps him. Rabbi Yehuda goes to the extreme in the opposite direction. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the mitzvah is on the father. If the father didn't do it, the kid does it himself, takes care of himself to bail out his father. But the mitzvah is really on his father. So when a man has an obligation on himself and on his son, who should come first, says Rabbi Yehuda? his son. Why? Because that's his ikar mitzvah, to help his son. What about his redemption? That was really on his father. He's just bailing out his father. Whereas the other opinion, Tanakhama says no. Who kodem livno? That he comes first. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says in this machlokas, akol modim, everybody agrees, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, kol hecha deleka ela chamish slime. Their machlokas was, you have 10 slime. The question is, whose pigeon aben do you book first? You have a kohen, you have the hall, you got the bagels and lox. Now you got to choose who goes first. But everybody agrees, when you only have 5 slime, who kodem livno? That he goes before his son. My taima, mitzvah de gufei adifa. Because it's a mitzvah de gufei. This was the raya that the Mitzvah Tzchinuch brought. Mitzvah de gufei adicha. Ki pligi, where do Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanah disagree? Hecha de'ika chamish mishubadim. And this will bring us into next week. Where do Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree? In the following scenario. The father owns land. I'm sorry. The father had land that was worth 5 slaim. And the father sold that land before the son was born. He owned a piece of real estate that was worth 5 slaim, and he sold it. And now, that karka, the land that he sold that was worth 5 slaim, was meshubad. It had a lien on it for whose pigeon aben? The father. Because remember, the father sold it before the son was born. You can't carry a lien for something that didn't happen yet. Right? The chov, the debt of the father to the kohen for his son, only falls when the son is born. But what debt existed already, even before the son was born? Remember, we're talking about a case where the father has to redeem himself, and he has to redeem his son. So, he has a piece of land worth 5 slaim. He sells the piece of land. What lien is attached to the piece of land with the sale? A debt of 5 slaim on behalf of? Himself. On behalf of himself. So, hecha de'ika chamesh mishubadim. So, the land has a lien, has an obligation, a debt for his pigeon aben, but not for that of his son. And why not? Because the son was only born afterwards. V'yesh chamesh b'nei choren. The father also has another piece of karka, another piece of real estate worth 5 slaim, and he owns that. He never sold it. It's b'nei choren. He never sold it. He owns it directly. So this is the machlokas, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda savar milva dechsiv b'torah k'ksuv b'shtar damya. That when the Torah creates debt, it's as good as a real debt with witnesses and contracts and with all the rules of a shtar. So bahani chamesh. So the field that's worth 5 that he continues to own, parach lebrei, he should pay the kohen to redeem his son. And also kohen the tarfla the chamesh mishibadim ladidei. And when it comes to his pigeon aben, let the kohen go to the new owner of the land that has the lien, the debt of the 5 slaim on behalf of his own pigeon, and let him take from there. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. You can achieve both pidyon habens. How do you achieve both pidyon habens? Because the land the father owns worth 5 slaim, let him use that land to be poed to his son. And the land he's previously sold, but that has a debt, a lien, for the 5 slaim for his pidyon, let the kohen go and collect the lien on the land. V'rabbanan, which kohen? V'rabbanan, the chacham disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Why? They say there's no lien on any land. The fact that the Torah created this debt is a religious obligation, but it doesn't create a new reality of a lien on land that a kohen can show up from the purchaser of land and say, you bought the land, it was encumbered, I'm taking 5 slaim worth from it because it had a lien of 5 slaim. He looks at the kohen and he says, give me the shtar, show me the contract that says that this land was encumbered 5 slaim. Kohen says, contract. Look and say for Shmos, Perek this, Pasuk that, Kol Chor Banecha Tifdeh. That's my contract. The owner of the land says, that's your contract. Do me a favor, save that for Shul. Save that for the Beis Medrash. Talking about in a court here. Where's the contract? So that's the nature of the Machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda holds Milva Ksuva B'Torah Kiksuva b'shtar damya, that when the Torah creates a debt, it's as good as a real debt on paper, contractual debt. Whereas the Chachamim say no, there's religious debt, that's a religious ceremony, and there's a true financial debt. So it comes out that if you believe that a religious debt creates a real debt, so now you got a solution to be poda to your son and you. You pay off the pigeon for your son from your land. And when it comes to your pigeon, let the Kohen go to the encumbered property and achieve your pigeon. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, a religious debt's not a real debt. There's no option for the Kohen to go to any other land. So since the only available money to achieve any pigeon is your Nechasim B'nei Chorin, is your land that you own outright, therefore, mitzvah degufei adif, your obligation to yourself comes first. You redeem yourself before your son. There's a lot more here to talk about. I'll give you the preview for next week for you to think about. Number one, Tosos here has a question. That's by the way, the way I just described it to you is Rashi's understanding. Tosos has a totally different understanding of the Gemara because he says there's a problem of, anyone who's learning the daf will appreciate this, Onaah. Where does Onaah come in? We're up to the fifth parak, Eza Neshach, but Nazav, the fourth parak of Bava Metzia, we spent all about Onaah. Onaah in money, Onaah in Dvarim. Where's the Onaah? Tosfos says, what can the owner of the Nechasim Meshubadim say to the father, or the Kohen, who's coming to redeem the five Sloim worth of land to be poed to the father? What could the Kohen, what could the owner of that land say to him? What are you coming to me to collect from my Meshubadim? The father has Bnei Chorin. Ah, he wants to use it to, on his son instead of, that's not my problem.
He has to go first.
Go collect first from the Bnei Chorin before you can collect from me. Because even encumbered property with a lien, the owner of that encumbered property is not obligated to forfeit the property as long as the debtor still has outright property. So Tosis wonders, why can't the owner of the land say to the Kohen, don't collect, forget this whole shtick that you could do both pigeon abens. Shtick, that's not my problem. He wants to be Yotze pigeon aben for himself and his son. That's not my problem. I bought this land. If it's a lien, he has no, if he had no Bnei Chorin, it'd be one thing. He has Nechasim Bnei Chorin. Let him be do pigeon aben on himself from the Nechasim Bnei Chorin. I, that leaves the son unable to do it, not my problem. And it's Onaah. You're taking advantage of me. You're trying to fulfill your religious obligations and pigeon aben on both by taking advantage of me and making me forfeit my property. Says Tosfos, that's a form of Onaah, and it's very legitimate claim that the owner of the property may have. So how does Tosfos reinterpret the entire Gemara? We'll get to that next week. Also next week, we'll get to the issue of maybe the father should be exempt from pigeon aben if all he has is five sloim. Like the Gemara said, we're talking about a case where all he has is five sloim. Who should he spend it on? The father and the son. We have a principle, the Gemara in Ksuba says, on the Vazveis, that when you have to spend money to fulfill a mitzvah, Ayivazviz Yoser Me Chomesh, there is a cap. When it comes to violating a lav, when it comes to violating a negative prohibition, there is no cap. Even if it costs you all your money in the world, you're not allowed to violate a negative prohibition. But to fulfill a positive mitzvah, Torah doesn't obligate you to fulfill a positive mitzvah at the expense of becoming impoverished. Not Yoser Me Chomesh, not more than 20%. So the Mefarshim ask, we're going to see, it's in your source sheets, but we'll get to it next week, the Bir Halacha. Well, if the father only owns five Sloim altogether, what are we talking about? Whose pigeon Aben he should do? Maybe he should do neither. He should be exempt altogether from pigeon Aben. He shouldn't be left impoverished and indigent. We'll get to that Bir Halacha as well next week. Have a good Chodesh.